Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Viv Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade. We've got a really exciting episode tonight. It's quite Essex-led. The comedy nights down there are the best, so I'm kind of trying to become one of you, basically. I'm assimilating. It's a good time to assimilate as well, because Wales are out of the Euros. So now so you're all I've
Essex.
Got.
Yeah. Wales, Essex.
I think that's where we're at. So, yeah, that first voice you can hear there is the illuminous, magnificent Jordan Gray. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Trust me to have jumped in unprompted straight away. Thanks for having me. Very kind of you to have me on your podcast. What a lovely thing to do of an afternoon.
Right, exactly. Is it the afternoon? No, not if you're listening from work. No, it's in my spare time.
Is there a chance that people... Hello, Stuart Goldsmith. Is there a chance that people... I do my own introductions, I have to. Is there a chance that people from work will listen to your podcast?
Yeah, because if the listens look down, I will take any. I've been putting it on LinkedIn. I've got no shame.
Great. Can you tell us what work you do, and then we can make sure we refer to the fact that there's loads of it in your visible in your screen now. You're surrounded by a stack of books, pigs. I don't know what you do.
Public relations. So this is an optics nightmare.
All those
basically.
People you're relating to in the background.
Yeah. Cocaine, then. You're surrounded by a stack of cocaine. What great public relations you must be doing.
No, my coke habit is entirely diet led. I did have my first Pepsi Max at about 10 a.m. which shows you where I am mentally. But yeah.
Really wondered what you were going to say. You had your first one.
It's probably not good, is it? But yeah, Stuart Goldsmith. Needed no introduction. Such a pro, you did it yourself. So.
Thanks, mate. Pro or bully, decide. By you, I mean the listener.
But also me, because I allocate the points. So we'll see how that goes for you.
Yeah,
fair
enough. Because I am... Diabetes. So just getting voted.
Oh my god, I've lost control of this already. Hello, the voice you heard there tentatively tried his own intro with Si. How are you? You've got to commit to it,
well,
Si. Commit.
Yeah,
go again. It sounded like you weren't sure that was your name. Like, allegedly, my name is Si. So
I feel like I might accidentally full name myself. Simon James D. Oh no.
Anyway.
Very exciting. I've started listening to this over the last few days, and the sound of that bingo ball is.
Is it?
Response now for you.
I'm just
adding some points to your tally because you said you'd listen to the podcast in advance. Yeah. So well done.
Yeah, I'm actually.
I'm not even going to listen to this when it goes out.
It's confidence. I do like that confidence.
You're right not to do so. okay, let's get going with the first category. Oh, it's exciting. And it is petty grievances. Mine are people who don't read my emails.
10 points.
That's not pet. Yeah, can you? Very good. I'm very pleased to see that Jordan is now awarded 6 points. This bodes well for the
Thanks,
wheels
Jordan.
Coming off in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I read the rules thoroughly, but from the perspective of the podcaster, I might have misinterpreted my role today. I've got a tally chart. I've got facts about all of you. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I put MC in brackets. So yeah, it's you. You're the host tonight.
Excellent. McGray.
I have a particular petty grievance against a man who, now where I live, we've got like communal parking out the back. And there's a man who parks in my parking space all the time. And when I say my parking space, I mean, they're not allocated parking spaces, but I have claimed it as my own. Okay. And when he parks there, I want to find his house and burn it down.
Wow.
Is that too far? Have I gone too hard too early?
No, the grievance is petty, but the justice you want to serve to him is grievous.
Disproportionate. Yeah.
Potential new topic.
Yeah, the grievances. Homicidal behaviour.
I don't know if the listener knows what Cydeves looks like, but what Cydeves looks like in the Zoom room is the sort of person who burns someone's house down.
Thank you. How are you going to say that even if this topic hadn't come up? So on brand.
We're just saying, if we saw your picture next to an arson story, we wouldn't necessarily be surprised.
Yeah. Not him, surely. Oh, no, that makes sense.
Maybe it's just because you look so pleasant, you must have a dark side. It's not. It's not that. I don't know why I'm trying to save this situation.
I think you've made it worse, if anything.
Digging in. Has anyone else got any petty or grievous grievances?
Mine's parking related as well, but I know exactly who's responsible. It's my next door neighbour, and my window is currently open. So I'm
oh my god, are you touch. Are you Cydeves next door neighbour? close the window. There's a petrol bomb about to come through.
I've been on camera the entire time.
My neighbour, let's call him Steve, is a motorcyclist, and he reserves parking space for his motorcycle outside his house using three cones. I sort of arguably a grievance, and it was a grievance until I saw another neighbour of ours from across the road kick one of his cones, and now I'm on Steve's side.
I wonder if he got anything from kicking that cone.
He drives a car which is the kicker, let's call him. I can't use his real name like I did with Steve, because his real name is really let's call him Neve.
These are all contractions of Cydeve that you are describing.
Steve, Leave.
Let's call him. Yeah, okay. I should have said Deeve, shouldn't I? God damn it. Can we fix that in post? Can we delete Jordan's name and make it sound like I did it?
We'll have to listen to it to find out, won't you?
I want to be absolute. That's not going to happen. I just want to make sure that you don't delete me saying that, because then it'll seem like I meant it. And I can't commit to that kind of online bullying. My point is that the kicker, let's call them Deeve. Thank you, Jordan. Let's call them. So there's Steve is the cone owner, and Deeve, who is the person who kicked them. And Deeve owns a car which I both covet and could never have, because it's like an outrageous kind of like top of the range Range Rover Evoque, which I desperately would love to drive. But I would never be the sort of person who would drive one, because...
Yeah, you know, I've got one.
The environment. They kill.
Cydeves. Yeah.
Is it like a gas guzzler like thing, or you mean that they're just big hulks of a thing?
It's both. They're enormously gas guzzly, and also they're so big that you if you knock someone down, the person goes under the car rather than over it.
Oh,
so
wow.
You kill them rather than bounce them.
Like a sort of reverse cow catcher.
I can attest.
But I really want one.
It's designed to eliminate.
I used to work in the building trade to some degree, and I used to have to drive this massive van around.
Don't say anything, Vix.
Insurance jobs.
I got to a house once where I had to do some work, and someone had put some cones outside of their house, and it's the only convenient place to park. So I threw those cones away.
Maybe they were saving the space for you, though.
No, it's a different house.
Oh, the builder's coming, better reserve in the spot. And then you threw away their cones.
I would love to see someone coming out to say, mate, those cones are for you. I would love it as you guiltily stash them in the back of the hedge. I see you found the cones.
Cydeves.
We're using your name all the time, like you're some kind of hostage. Yeah. We want you to remember your identity, Cydeves. You're not just a number to me. You're a person. Jordan, I find it impossible to believe you haven't got any petty grievances. You've just given me that vibe.
I'm annoyed by people that constantly move my cones. I've only got a few left.
You don't even drive.
No, exactly. So, right, I've got a grievance, and I don't mind mentioning his name. Is a mate of mine. He's called Dean Foy. I hope he's listening because he owes me this much.
He's a friend of mine.
He once said, is he really? Right, you need to relay this information to him. I'm a big fan of Pokemon, and when I was little, less like 7 or 8 years old, I had a quite an extensive collection, and he said he was going to trade me his Chansey, which is a rare Pokemon in and out of the game, with my Pidgeot. It's a shiny Pidgeot, which obviously, as everybody here knows and your listeners know, is the third evolution of Pidgey Pokemon. It evolves at level 32. So, like, and he said he'd trade it with me, and I was like, oh, fair enough, all right. And I wasn't that into it, but I wanted to be friends. And this took place in the school playground. And then that night is a stormy night. And he showed up at my door like it was the fucking Exorcist. And he was like dripping in rain. I didn't really know him that well. And my mum wasn't in. So I was like, this is really weird. Like, I'm not allowed to like invite you in. Right, or whatever. He's like, oh, it's not here for that. And he just whipped it out. And he stood there with the card. I'm like, well, I can't not now trade this card. I was anxious anyway. I wasn't sure I was going to do it. And so I had to sort of mugged me at my doorstep for this card. I was like, all right, at least I've still got a rare card. It was a second edition, which made it essentially completely pointless and useless. It was a second edition card. So I had now a whole collection of first edition Pokemon cards and then this one second edition card that was of no use to me or anybody. And I think he knew what he was doing. I think that he ambushed me in the rain at my door when I was only little, and I think about it all the time. Because I got rid of them all after that. I was like, what's the point in anything? I auctioned them off.
I don't think that's even a petty grievance. I think that's completely legitimate. Sygeeves, you must make him answer for this crime.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you need to take care of it, I know.
I don't own the van anymore. It's a real... I had to give it up for evidence.
Oh, that's a crime these days, is it? Everything's crime. Well, what an illuminating round that was for everybody. Let's go again. Right, most competitive moments.
Oh, this feels like one.
All right. Yeah, it definitely is. I can see the scores. It's neck and neck. Honestly, the tension's killing me and I'm allocating it, so it's entirely in my control.
It's presumably neck and neck and neck, isn't it? Or are you suggesting one of us has
or
more
neck.
Points?
Sidees.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's really lovely to be here with, like, obviously three amazingly accomplished podcasters. And Sidebs is here as well. And that's excellent. What an excellent time.
Oh, it's just the cones all over again. You haven't even got a podcast, Jordan.
I don't own a podcast. You are, of course, an accomplished podcaster. I got in a fight with a dog once, and it was instigated by a person. It wasn't my choice or the dog's choice, right, to have this fight. But I was staying with somebody once, and they had a Japanese Akita, which is a huge, it's not a dog. You don't call it a dog, it's a wolf, right? I said to him, I used to be a goth, and I had a hoodie, and it had this thing's face on it. So I know it wasn't a dog, it is a wolf, right? And I moved in, and first time I was ever there, and it came in, it jumped and sat on my lap, and it just sat there. And the owner of the house said, right, it does this. What you've got to do now is push his head to the floor, like really push it to the floor, so it knows who the alpha of the household is. Otherwise, it's going to keep doing this over and over again. And I says, mate, I come here for a cup of tea. I didn't come here to square off with an apex predator from the Arctic tundra. I'm not Liam Neeson. I came here for some tea and biscuits. I'm not here to fight your dog. So I had to fight this dog, not like wrestle this dog. And it doesn't matter who won. Don't ask me who won. It really doesn't matter.
So it was the dog then.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you need me to say yes, I didn't come out the victor of this thing. It was too primal of an experience. It's like, why am I telling you this? It's like, it's quite, not arousing, that's too strong of a word to use, but it's a warm mammal that you're like wrestling with in a sort of, and it was a man dog. And that's why I think as well, he didn't respect me in the household as well. She said he's like got a bit of a thing for the ladies, but then he just come and sat on me. So I think he was mugging me right off because I'm transgender. I think he's just refusing to acknowledge my... and it was horrible. It was like Twilight fan fiction. We were just like, oh, fuck it, this goth and this thing. And I never did win, but I think he sort of knew that was never going to happen. So he gave me the benefit of the doubt.
Well, What do you think, he let you in eventually, or
he just stopped sitting on me after a while? I was like, this isn't fun anymore. This person's never going to best me in combat. Don't tell people to fight a wolf.
I love that you've literally been on like a brilliant reality TV show, but your most competitive moment was with a dog in someone's house.
And there were four people watching.
what The Voice?
No, yeah. The
I mean, I've always suspected it, but...
Yeah, it was an event. It was definitely an event.
I mean, there are people that would pay for that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people that go on Britain's Got Talent and they're like dancing with dogs. I think you should go on there fighting wolves.
Yeah, Mr. wolf Chick, fighting.
Definitely, Mr. Chick.
No, too sexually exciting, Si Deeps. It's not for daytime TV. What's your most competitive moment, Si?
Oh, I don't know. I've had so many. I like to win. That's the thing. I like to claim that I'm not competitive and I stay quite cool during competitions. But then when it comes to it, I will shout quite a lot of abuse.
I'm way less competitive than you, mate.
No,
getting in?
I'm less competitive than you.
A clever joke there.
If you have to mark it out as a clever joke, Stu, because people won't get it, you've got to think about your life choices.
Has anyone got a time machine? Because I haven't been the entire 15 years of my career.
Come on, Si. What have you done?
I mean, I've been a victim of competitiveness. I was a wolf once and told I had to fight a transgender lady.
Callbacks for days here, isn't it? This is just one long in-joke episode.
I like to do jigsaws with my wife, but my wife sort of
that
insists...
That wasn't the joke, Jordan. Stop laughing.
It's just, he's so on brand. Everything he says is so on brand. I love him.
Yeah, I like to do jigsaws with my wife. It's not necessarily competition, but she likes to... Obviously, the most satisfying part of the whole thing to do is the edge, because once you've done that, you've basically, you know, you're well on the way to finishing. I like to... My wife does this thing where she just picks up like a huge handful of pieces and then just sort of chooses where they all go, whereas I will take all of the edge pieces and just steal it. And then she makes me sleep outside.
Yeah,
it's not that competitive, is it?
I think there's a metaphor there about like thinking inside the box. You are you're incapable of thinking outside the box. You need that perimeter there. It makes
yeah,
it
I
safe.
Need limits.
I like it though. That is my level of petty. Because if I can't win games, pick the person I like the least to lose, and I play that game by myself.
Sure.
So where you're trading cards, it's like you can't have the sheep because. I've throttled the means of your production, so I'm the real
winner. What game are you playing?
we all know what game you're playing, mate.
It's never sheep, is it? It's never sheep. An abundance of
sheep. Don't go sheep.
Settlers of Catan. I am very poor at that. I'm not a fine strategic mind, but I'm very good at blocking the winner. That's what counts.
Yes.
People are...
Sweet. I've been doing loads of jigsaws over the last 18 months, and I heard the noise I made when I completed a 1,000-piece jigsaw in a room on my own, and I think it wasn't too bad of a noise. It would have been worse if the noise was like, woohoo, or like either of those would have been bad, but the noise I heard myself make was, it just seemed to really point up the pointlessness of the whole thing.
It's so sweetly tragic.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Oh, this has been 3 days of my life.
But I don't know why I was so excited about doing jigsaws, but I think the reason they're attractive is that because you just look at all the bits and go, in life, nothing makes sense.
Yes.
This makes sense. And then you go, there we go. And you just sort of build a little flat reality and go, now everything's going to be.
You can complete a task as well, because like there's so little that I do in my life that there's not more to do at some point. Like you do a good gig, don't you? You're like, the next one could be shit. It's done. It's a perfect picture. You've done all that you need to do and you just walk away and it's finished. Then you break it up and put it back in the box, which is kind of sad, but unless you frame it.
But then
those people that frame them, that put the glass over the top, they are a special breed. Si, have you got one of them?
Yeah, but three, yeah.
I was about to really drag
every puzzle's
it.
Got like a finite end, doesn't it? It like, when you finish a puzzle, that's it. You can only take it apart and make the same thing again. over and over and over. That's a metaphor. But like, it's the reason we enjoy Lego more than Play-Doh, because Lego's got a specific set of rules that you have to live by to make whatever you want. Play-Doh, you can just mold it into anything and you get bored, don't you? Because it's limitless possibility, apart from the colour. The colour's sort of consistently the same. But Lego, it's like, yeah, that's why kids enjoy that so much more. And puzzles is the same premise.
Not to psychoanalyze you, Jordan. Not to psychoanalyze you too much, but at what age were you when you decided you were bored of Play-Doh?
Thing is, the fact that it doesn't retain its colour when you mix the two together. I like the separation. Too much commitment to mix blue and suddenly red and blue, and now I've got a purple that I wasn't asking for, and now it's a purple forever.
Yes. Much better if you had a double colour swirl.
Yeah, right, yes.
I think as the owner operator of children.
Like a non-toxic so Campino.
Much. We are learning
a
so
toxic
much
Campino. That was excellent. I'm not taking credit for that. Si's got quite a sort of sweet, au fait voice. So you didn't hear his amazing little quip that it comes out like a toxic Campino.
Great.
I don't know what a Campino is.
A strawberry cream flavoured hard-boiled sweet.
Oh,
it's got
the
red
fancy
and white
ones that they're all individually
looks
wrapped.
Like a Barber's Twirl thing, but it's like...
I do know what that is, but I didn't know it was called a Campino. Thank you.
It's like a Werther's original from a cabaret. Do you know what I mean? It's like a cabaret where
yes, it looks like it's been pooed by a unicorn.
Yeah, that's it.
You can have a point for that, Stu. No.
Neck and chin. Yes.
Neck, foot. any competitive moments spring to mind for you, Stu?
Oh, I did think of one, but I didn't write it down. And the conversation moved on because of my great jigsaw comment. It was, do you know, I think I've got quite a good one, but I've just got to find it on my list. Hang on. My mind doesn't work anymore. What is the, I'm never going to find it. This is just a load of shit. There we go. I've got it. I think this will be worth it. Oh, I don't know. The problem was that wasn't too eggy for you to cut out. So probably you could leave it in if you wanted to make me really, everyone realize I'm actually a clown.
Well, you'll never know, will you? Because you're not going to listen.
I'll never know. Do you know? Oh, that's a good point. I suddenly feel way
do
better.
Do what you
about
like.
It.
All bets are off.
No, I've forgotten again.
Don't distract him, everyone. We'll do that.
God, it was right there. Oh, yeah. That's it. So my wife's family have a game that they love to... I'll tell you what, I'll come in clean, and then if you do cut it out, it'll be easier for your edit. My wife's family... I'll come in a film. Thanks for asking that bit. My
this is
family.
All saying it.
That one seems... Oh, in that case, Rich, you mad bitch. I'm just giving you some options for the edit. So my wife's family like to play a game called Knocky Knocky, which is a card game. It's one of those games where all of the cards have different values. Like if you play a 10, everyone's trying to get rid of their cards. If you play a 10, it reverses the order. Yeah. If you play a queen, then everyone's got to stand on their head or whatever. You know, there's all these different things. And of course, as a newcomer to that game, I don't know any of the things. They've all been playing it the whole of their lives because it's a big family game. So I said, wouldn't it be more fair, like if what they love is the game rather than the fact of their expertise, wouldn't it be more fair if now they're playing with me, a new incoming player, that we totally change and randomize all of the things so that they don't have an advantage and they can play the game for the love of the game? And of course, they all told me to fuck myself. Apart from my wife's brother's wife, my stepwife, whose real name I won't give you. Let's call her Glee.
It's not me.
Glee suggests, like she started coming round to the idea. She started going, actually, that's not a bad idea. And then it turned into such a big argument that we didn't play the game. And I'm calling
take the game off the table is an automatic win.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Oh, talking of taking games off tables, have you ever picked up a jigsaw? I was 42 before I realised you could do this. Once you've built your jigsaw, if you can grab it by the edge, by one of the edges, you can lift it up.
And how small does that jigsaw have to be?
This sounds like the kind of lie that you tell as a long-term troll. Like when people are picking up their jigsaws, it's all falling apart.
Does... You can... If your iPhone screen is cracked, it's not one of those. It's not one of those. It genuinely, the first time my mother-in-law did it, and it absolutely blew my mind. It was only a year or two ago, and she just went, oh, I'll just tidy that up. And she picked it up, and I was like, what are you doing? And
it's like chain link,
is incredible.
I guess, isn't it? Yeah. Now you think about it as a concept. It makes hypothetical sense, but...
Sort of. I just imagine it has to be one of those thick wooden sort of Peppa Pig ones that you've given to a six-year-old.
Actually, those don't work. I've tried picking
around.
Those up. They don't work.
What is the world?
What I love is that out of all of us, Jigsaw Psy is the one going, I can't see that working. My jigsaws are too much.
You see that he's got frames, they're just mashes of cardboard. They're not complete at all.
So you said earlier that they form a perfect picture. Are they not just one sort of large piece of brown? Because they, I just stick them all on the wrong side, I think.
Oh, you're doing it the wrong way around.
Oh, oh
no. Pictures of mud.
Oh, another jigsaw. This one's grey again.
This is the most I've ever talked about jigsaws in my entire life.
You should move to my house.
I don't think I should.
There's a space for you.
Well done.
Yep, hang on. Yeah,
but you will be framed and stuck up on the wall.
Yeah.
I always dreamed of that. I was saying this the other day. I have to murder or be murdered to get a Netflix special as a woman. So I need to decide which one I'm going to back. That sounds like the kind of thing Netflix would feature. But obviously, yeah, I wouldn't be around to enjoy the infamy. Would I?
So sure. Wouldn't
be as good. I think I'd have to be the murderer.
You just need to move to a house near me and then park in my parking space.
Wow.
Keep going, team. We're gradually getting into
it. It's like the good cop, bad cop, but we're all good cop. We're all just making jokes about it until he admits all the detail.
I mean, I'm a bit scared of this category of irrational dislikes now. What have you got,
Sidebs? I hate moths. Moths are the absolute worst in the world. Like, the weird thing is, because they are, it is an irrational dislike. I'm not scared of them. I just really, really hate moths because they're just little twats. But the thing is, I like butterflies. I pick a butterfly up and sort of move that around. Hold that, that's fine. I'll sort of get it near my face. Moths,
up, move it around.
One of those bastards comes near my face, I won't like it. That's the extent of my dislike. I'll dislike it. That is... And then my cat comes in, she'll try and kill it, and then just essentially make a big dusty mess on the wall.
He was going on about this the other night for so long, and I can't believe it's translated into this podcast. I hate that you hate moths so much. This is one of my dislikes, is that moths are a beautiful night butterfly, ain't they? They're clouded in mystery. They've got their own sort of magical dust. And he says to me, so I said, that dust thing about if they lose their dust, they die, is a myth. And I don't believe that with the same intensity that you don't believe that thing about puzzles that Stu said. I've always been told that dust, if you remove it, it's like their little safety net. I don't know why you hate them so much. There's one in the hallway outside now. It's sort of this colour as well, which is really nice, like a white snowy moth. And have you heard that thing about how moths used to all be white, and then the Industrial Revolution happened, and then only the darker ones survived, of course, because of evolutionary selection, because the white ones stuck out against all the coal-covered machinery. And so I just...
For sure. I remember that. I remember that picture from a school textbook.
Yeah. Interesting
very vividly.
Fact. Another category that we've all
there
just
we covered. There we go. Yeah, there we go. You covered two categories in one there.
Yeah. But Sy won't acknowledge their sort of historical importance. He thinks that they're just dirty little night butterflies.
Correct. Yeah. Well, do you know what night butterflies are? Is butterflies at night, and they are fine.
I don't think they're the same thing. I think they're different species. I understand that part.
I was once given a moon moth for my birthday by my friend Tess. And the thing about the moon, it's called a moon moth because it's got pale, its wings are so pale green, they're almost white. And the huge wings, maybe like 8 inches across. And it was in like a coffee jar, and she gave it to me. And I was a bit like, this is such a weird thing to give someone. And I thought, it's not going to live very long, so let's give it its freedom. So we took it outside, and it kind of took off. And it, because it beat its wings so far all the way around, it looked like a little globe, and it flew off. And it was beautiful. And Tess told me that they only live for 24 hours because they don't have a mouth.
She knew that, popped it in a jar.
You're like, you could live out the rest of your 24 hours in this jar. And it just lifted up this beautiful little kind of globe and just flew off. And everyone at the birthday, it was like in the evening, and everyone was a bit drunk, or also teenagers, and we're like, oh, it's the most beautiful thing. And then the next day I found half of it in the garden.
That is dark. When's the comedy going to start, do you think?
Does that also come under worst gift?
Technically, yes. I don't know.
And we liked it so much, it can also register under family rituals. Every birthday, every year, kill half a moth.
It's like an eclipse. It's like a sort of lunar eclipse of the moon moth. Just cut it in half. What do you think of that, Si? What do you think of that magical story about moths that you hate so much?
It sounds awful. If someone gave me a moth for my birthday, I would smash that jar directly in their face. I've gone too violent. I'm so sorry. I'm not violent at all.
You've got a lot of anger in you, Sideep.
Yeah, so... just towards moths and bad parkers. I once left, I was house sitting at my sister's house and I left the bathroom light on and accidentally left the window open.
Is this another moth story? We're going to get an irrational dislike, but no, you've got more to give.
But I went down to go to the toilet and my friend had come round and we were watching a film. And I opened up the door and there were about 12 moths in there, which is too many moths. So my friend volunteered to go in there with a fish slice and dispose of the moths.
What?
It was like watching Zorro.
A fish slice?
Yes.
Slice. Is there a particular... So that a fish slice is a curved blade which ends in a sort of...
Oh, it's similar to a spatula type thing.
Oh,
I'm thinking of a cheese knife. Apologies. A fish slice is like a spatula. Okay. Had they chosen that weapon from a list of available
in the sense...
Had they been like...
That's like level one. That's hammer. Level one, no. Of a game.
Moth, great. No. Moth hammer, fish too slice. Easy. Get the fish slice. I'm a maverick.
Yeah, you had to talk me out of using a flamethrower, to be honest. So
I was worried that's where it was going to go, to be honest.
I would have thought, Si, that you would like moths because they often...
Yeah, they go to the same.
Why burn yourself to death when three others can do it for you when you innocently come to a podcast? I don't know why we've chosen you today, Si. I sort of want to apologise, but I'm not sorry. But
he's going to outlive us all. Don't worry, Si's.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna burn you all in your house. No, I'm not. Oh my god, I've done it again. Let's go for a drive in my Land Rover.
Dear me. any irrational dislikes for you, Stu?
Women, obviously. I mean, no, not really.
You could probably make a good argument for that.
I was just trying to make size fit his tea. I was trying to make size fit his tea and it nearly
worked. That was very close.
That was great. My irrational dislikes are my it's probably, not to get too deep, it's probably disappointing people. I really dislike disappointing
now,
people.
Are you talking about people that are disappointing?
Because I don't care about people.
No. It's okay that you didn't prepare. So it's just nice that you're here. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
But that's it. Do you mean it's like I don't like to disappoint people, but it is irrational because who the fuck cares? To me, I'm not specifically about you, but why would I even care about that? Answer that. We've got 33 minutes.
It depends on your level of empathy, I guess.
Yeah, you can tell that. I think you can tell that about everyone on this call, but you specifically, Stu. You've got it's like woven into your being. You can tell that you don't want to upset people, and that it's passes on. This isn't going into a bit. This is sincerity. It's like because then we want to reciprocate. We don't want to disappoint you because you can tell it leaks out a little bit, and I think it's a subconscious thing, isn't it? It's like you evolve that. It's what's the word? About when societies all live together, this altruism, it is genetically inherent altruism. You don't want to upset the people that you are like-minded with and that has traveled down genes. Yeah. And now, you know, the people that did want to upset people or didn't care were ousted from the tribe and thus the genes weren't passed down and you're at the end of that lineage of people. It emanates from you that you don't want to disappoint. It's really sweet.
That's really kind. The most frightening thing is the idea that I'm at the end of my lineage. what do you know about my future and children?
Oh, that's true.
Suddenly, I don't look like the arsehole here.
I don't know how irrational that is. I think that's a nice thing about you to not want to disappoint people, but...
Oh, all right.
Again, is that irrational? I think you can make a fairly good argument for us as a genre.
I think you could, mate.
Yeah, I'm only just about half entitled, so you should do it.
You're in. We'll accept you.
Thank you. I'm honorarily annoying.
I don't even know what we were talking about. I've lost the run of this.
Oh, that's right.
We were doing irrational dislikes.
Yeah, so did we actually cover any of them?
Moths. Yeah, yeah. Si, moths. Si, dislikes moths. Stu dislikes
women.
Women and women. Disappointing people, which is a mixed sort of thing.
Stu dislikes disappointing women. That's the
right.
Oh,
and I dislike Shy's dislike of moths.
Okay, lovely. teenage behaviour. We've already covered like poor trades of trading cards, Jordan. What were you like? We know you collected Pokemon cards, so we're already there. Like
that's 90% of my personality now. If you want to know about me, the thing about me that is the most prominent thing about me is that 80% of the time when I'm walking around, I'm imagining what Pokemon would live there, like what I'm looking at. So if I'm looking at the sea or in a forest or in the city, I'm imagining what ones live there. That is actually just what is happening in my brain. But that's not the story. I was in a band. I was in a grindcore band, right, when I was 14 years old, 13, 14, 15. And we were called Silent Feedback. And I don't know what it means. And I didn't know what it meant then, but...
I like it. That's good,
and
that is.
I lived in a pub and we had a back room. And my mum said we were allowed to use the back room once a month for gigs, which is excellent because we weren't good enough to have warranted getting gigs anywhere else. So we were headlining in this actual pub that ran gigs. And to make us really important, we'd headline and we'd leave the lights on for the other bands. And then when the last band come on, like us, we'd turn the lights off and be like, yeah, right, so now it's proper, now is the atmosphere. And behind the drum kit, it was a back room, so it's just pictures of like snooker players and a dartboard, and it looked really shit. So we'd cover everything with black bin bags and spray our lyrics on all the walls with like fake snow and stuff, like, oh, fuck George Bush, or like, oh, fucking metal, like, didn't mean anything at all. But we ran out of bin bags behind the drum kit, and I was a goth, so I had black bed sheets, I had black silk bed sheets. So I ran upstairs to my room, remember, because I lived there, and we hung them up, and it was the most amazing looking thing. It looked so amazing. And we were a proper band. We had a lovely black silk sort of backing. And it was 10 o'clock at night, and the other bands had played. And I was there with the microphone, and I said to the lighting guy, Colin, and I love that his name was Colin. I was like, Colin, hit the lights. So he turns off the lights, and on came the UV lights that had been installed like a week ago. going on for so long, and everyone's like laughing and joking and messing around, and even the bassist, and I obviously realized that you are far ahead of me, of course, but like I realized it might have been a mistake volunteering my unwashed bed sheets.
Oh my god,
dropped to the operation.
Jackson Pollock situation.
It was like a glowworm massacre. It was absolutely the most embarrassing thing. But I just leant into it. I just was like, oh, don't worry about that. Look at me. Rah, 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 rah. And I think that's probably where my personality comes from. I'm just trying to distract from that. 20 years later.
That is extraordinary. Yeah. What was everyone else like as teenagers? Si, I'm desperate to know. Were you always like this?
To some extent, yeah. I've always been this person, but just less confident.
What was particularly sweet about that, which I think will be lost to the edit, is just for the first beat of that, had frozen. And so we were all looking at you. We were a hair's breadth away from saying, the sun's still there. And then you styled out of your video being frozen.
Perfect. You know, I was like, maybe it was just very still. Like, I doubted that the video was frozen for a minute. Like...
Particularly because then what you went on to say was, I've pretty much always been like this. And it just seemed like that was a particularly good thing to say for a position absolutely still.
Well, he's doing it on purpose now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Have I frozen again?
No, you're right.
Yeah, you're intermittently freezing, but because you don't tend to do much with your face, it's quite hard to tell.
This is a character assassination.
No, that's not that. That has no negativity. In
it
you
just look dead from the face.
It's like you're good at conserving energy, like a tortoise.
Yeah, that's it.
Once in a while, nature does birth these amazing tortoises without shells. And I once saw one of them beating up Saeed in a car park.
and he had a rat wearing a shell egging him on.
Saeed, what were you like as a teenager? And I believe that you looked exactly like you do now as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I looked very similar. You know, I had huge hair. I wasn't a goth. I was sort of into rock and that sort of thing. And I had, at one point in my life, 3.5-inch long spikes all over my head.
Ooh.
Okay. See, I wouldn't have seen that coming.
That's I look like without confidence. And now this, I missed that natural beauty.
You've been breaking up a little bit.
No, am I really? I'm so near my room.
Oh.
Bless him. Right. So what we're gleaning is that you used to have, what was that band, The Offspring or whatever? So you're like a little Statue of Liberty. You used to have that sort of haircut.
Yeah. Like, what's his name? Dexter.
Yeah. They're still going, by the way. They've released an absolute banger over the summer.
Offspring.
Have they?
Yeah. Oh. Here we go. That's just information. That's not even a joke. The other podcast is the Tuned Up Time Machine with Rich Wilson. You can listen to it on Mixcloud. That's the kind of facts I'm giving out in there. I thought I was just there to add glamour, and then he was like, "You not prepared?"
Oh, now I think I've lost you. You've all frozen, which means I've frozen.
Oh no, you're still going.
We can still see and hear you, Stu.
Oh, good. All right, then I'll have to take your word for it. And stop being deliberately still. I can tell you're all doing it now. Jordan in particular is absolutely frozen for jokes.
No, it's just you. It's just you seeing that.
I haven't, but as you know full well, my face doesn't move. So
I don't provide counselling for this afterwards. I should have made you sign some kind of waiver.
I was an absolutely terrible goth.
Well, wore loads of colours.
And I didn't commit.
Smiling all the time. Yeah,
very jolly.
Starring in Joseph, I would walk off stage and hang out with the other goths as they continually walk
Roger,
away.
Brought pink scooter to the shops.
No, because the thing is, because I'm considerably older, I think, than all of you, I lacked not only the commitment to put my hair in, like I had long hair for a while, but I didn't have access to the products required to make your hair stand up on spikes. There was no internet in those days, so I had to buy my goth clothes from a sort of, like a leaflet called HM Gear, which stood for Heavy Metal Gear, right? And it was... I once bought... Yeah, you would have to send away for it. Literally, this is what the world used to be like. There was no Pokemon Go.
And you never knew
days.
Where you when you get no... it, because I had catalogues, same thing, like the Grattan catalogue when I was a teenager.
A catalogue is what I mean, not a leaflet. But you could tell how, it was a very thin catalogue. They obviously didn't sell many things. So I had like black combat trousers, like dyed black combat trousers. I had a dyed black combat shirt. I had a black duster coat because I basically wanted to look like Dream from the Sandman comics, which I also had to buy on rare occasions I'd travel to Birmingham because there was no internet. I cannot stress enough how different that made everything. But because I couldn't afford to get big clumpy boots that you'd wear, like, I was into New Model Army and stuff, and everyone's like, oh, you've got to wear, clogs that you've made yourself. I couldn't afford those. So I had some plain white trainers from like whatever the local equivalent, whatever the contemporary equivalent of George Asda was. So I looked like I was just sort of completely dressed in black, but with bright white feet. So and it was just me and my friend Noel dressed up as bad goths, desperately trying to dry out banana skins because we'd heard that you could get high from smoking them. Again, information was very limited back then. Ground nutmeg. How much of this do we have to try and inhale in order to get what we've heard is called
Oh, you were terrible, nice. Goths. Oh, never mind. Careful. You look at us now, all of us.
Well, also the pre. Right, so I don't mean to presume an age limit, but if we're talking about the goth music of your experience, would it have been electro goth? Are we talking like sort of Depeche Mode-y electro goth music, or was Marilyn Manson already on the scene doing his thing?
No, Marilyn Manson wasn't on the scene. Oh my God, it was Sisters of Mercy and Fields of Gold.
Okay.
That's your lot.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, but as I said, I wasn't like, it wasn't goth. It was just like, I like heavy metal. I liked Metallica, Megadeth, that kind of era of music. But again, where would I be getting my music from? I'd be getting it from the local library on cassette, right? So you weren't downloading stuff. You weren't torrenting. This is pre-LimeWire, right? So yeah, I'd be getting like I was into New Model Army, by which I mean I had their album Impurity on cassette that I'd taped from the library cassette. So, yeah, there was no resources available to me as to what constitutes goth, mosher, metal, any of that kind of stuff.
You did the best you could. Arguably, you're better than all of us because you had nothing to work with and you did your best.
I agree.
You've
dodged the bullet of the internet trying to define everything to within an nth of a degree of genre of music. The amount of times we argued in my band, is it doom 100%. Metal? Is it thrashcore? I don't know. I just want people to look at me. I just want to get the attention. Don't make me define myself. Yeah. I'm a goth.
Yeah, no, totally. And I do. Weirdly, in a kind of slightly grandfatherly kind of way. Not that I'm a grandfather. I'm not that old, as far as I know.
My mum docked 2 years off my age last week because I said I was really annoyed about being 37. She's like, I thought you were 35. I was like, you're my mother. You're the only person that I'm now not sure I can challenge. I was like,
but I genuinely think that I dodged an internet bullet. I got to grow up without the internet. And it's only of late I kind of like, you know, one of those things as a comic, people are constantly, you see your peers constantly putting out content. I'm older than a lot of the people I started doing stand-up with because I fucked about on the street for 10 years, which you can interpret in a couple of different ways. And as a result, sometimes I'm like, God, I wish I was better at social media output. And other times I think, God, no, I've had a much better life because I haven't continually been
you were one of the founding fathers of comedy podcasts though. So
sure, let's go with that.
Paved the way for everybody else, all thousands of us now.
Yeah. 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 I had the first ever comedy podcast. It's true. I mean, might as well start saying that because sooner or later, this might be the only document.
I'm a PR person. I reckon I can make people believe it. Give me some time.
Yes. Well, what I need to do is what Richard Herring did, where he called himself the King of Edinburgh in an article that he wrote for The Guardian. And then for the next 10 years went King of Edinburgh, Guardian, on all his posters. So PR wise, all you need is to call yourself. I accidentally overplayed my hand because I got the chance to... Arthur Smith one year had a rule that you could only review his show if you were prepared to juggle kippers. And so the List got in touch with me and said, you can juggle, right? Can you juggle kippers? And I went, yeah, probably. So they sent me along to review his show and juggle some kippers. And so I called Arthur Smith the bravest and most relevant comic of his generation in the List so that he could have that if he wanted. And then I made a joke of it and signed it, Stuart Goldsmith, the bravest and most relevant comic of his generation. But I went in too high. You can't really put that on a poster because it's too obvious. Damn it. Herring stymies me again.
Well, that is really
how
quite
old
something.
Are you, Stu, out of curiosity? How old are you, what's by the way? I feel like you're not that much older than
all of
than
us.
The rest of us.
Sure, let's go with that.
Right. Why would you suddenly pull the curtain aside, Si? I've been skirting around it masterfully this whole time with metaphors, musical references.
What are you really like as a person?
Why would you pull down the House of Cards?
I'm old enough to remember when we actually burnt down people's houses rather than just wanging on about it on the internet.
Right, well, that is quite a dark finish.
You remember when moths retained their whiteness. We're not talking about that old. We're not talking about pre-industrial revolution moths.
That was my first stand-up bit. Whatever it's happened to white moths.
Stuart's running a workhouse. Full of moths and people like Si. Anyway, this is the end. We finished. The hour is up. Unbelievably.
Well done, everyone.
Is it now too late to play Fruit Machine?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to play all three of my jokers in order that I win. Is that
right,
fair?
Let's...
Blue my email.
Right. I was going to play my new balls card, but it's the first thing that I'm looking for as a transgender person, so I'll probably leave it alone.
Si, pick a number between 1 and 3.
3.
Right, you've got Stu's points now, so...
I feel like it's a good thing.
Is it? We'll see.
You've nabbed.
Can I also pick 3?
No.
But if I can, I'll wait until Jordan's chosen.
You can only play the card once. It can only be played once by one person. So, Si, congratulations. You're now the joint winner with Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe. I can't believe that I was absolute last.
Yeah. So you played the Fruit Machine, but as a result got sick burns by like, your own choices. So enjoy the hollow victory. Yeah,
Your points have been accrued by us roasting you mercilessly, and you just took those points upon yourself. Yeah.
And then he's hoovered up the points in the end and converted
them.
Yeah,
I'm gonna cry into my winnings.
It was neck and neck and waist, so you know you went too far behind. But
sure, that's quite far. It depends how tall you are, I suppose.
Well, Well, you know, you can decide.
Is it on a baby?
You can listen back to your performance close. And decide where you think you were on the body versus the winner. But no, it was really close. Thank you all for playing. What are you doing with your lives at the moment that you can plug at the end of this? So, Si, what are you doing apart from crying about how this went?
Selling my house. If anyone wants to buy a house.
That's true. No, that sounds like a bit. That's true.
Big power move. Try to sell your house via an appearance on a podcast. You deserve my win.
Who bought you off. As a neighbour? Based on everything
people
you said.
People who respect parking. No, I'm trying to go for a driveway. So if anyone does park on my drive, then they deserve my wrath. I'd like to promote my podcast, the Comedians Tea Party, which you have all been on.
That was really fun as well. I had a nice time. You didn't deserve what happened to you when you came on mine as exchange. But
brutal. I'm also currently writing my new show, Cyclops, about how I lost vision in one of my eyes. So that'll check out my website.
Can't wait to hear you make that funny.
Wow. End the podcast with actual tears.
So is that
only at one eye though?
Is that the format for the end of this? Is that the format for the end? We plug something and you roast.
I think it's everyone plugs something and then you take another pop at me.
That's not on paper the funniest situation to be in though, with only one eye working. Like
no, but you've seen some of the stuff. You know it's good.
It is good. It is.
Look at that little burst of confidence at the end there. That was so off-brand.
I loved it. No, I very much support it, Si. Joint winner, Si Deebs, everybody. Jordan.
Joint winner, real loser. That is.
I'd like to take this opportunity what's the word you used when you
plug.
To plug the Comedy Tea podcast that Si does as well, because I was supposed to be on it. And what happened when I came on, Si?
Well, no, you did come on it. You were the first person to be on it twice. And the second time, my computer went wrong and didn't record your end of the conversation. So.
Oh, I know. It
speaks for itself. And of course, the fantastic work of Stu Goldsmith. I'd like to plug that now. Even I don't know what it is, but I'm committing hard to whatever he's about to say. And I endorse it. Stu, what have you got to plug?
Actually, what I was going to plug was I was going to use the plugging time to convince you to start a podcast.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, because I quite like in being the comic relief with absolutely zero responsibility coming on and shaking my ridiculous haircut about. Also, I used to do local radio. That's quite a laugh. I had the Extra Jordan every show on Phoenix FM. But I like this bit. I like coming on and messing about without having to worry about what Vix is obviously worrying about now, which is the time.
Yes, all you need to do is find the nerd.
I mean, I don't know where Si is on my screen, but I'd love it if I was pointing at him right
Get
now.
Get them to do
it. Yeah,
halfway. All you need to do is find the nerd, do all the technical heavy lifting. There'll be people out there who...
What's upsetting about that is I do edit other podcasts, so...
Well, what a lovely suggestion. Thank you, Stu. What would you like to plug, aside from my career path into the future? It's very sweet of you.
I do a podcast and I do other things, and you can find all about them by Googling my name.
Si Deebs.
I think that's
the first ever comedy podcast.
Yes, Si Deebs. go to sideebs.com to find out.
It's my website.
The thing is, what I'm mostly doing at the moment is this kind of corporate hustle that started off as a side hustle and has become a cornerstone of my career. And it's just, you can't mention it, like, you can't plug it on a podcast. I talk to high level, like, you know, private equity firms about what they can learn about resilience
comedians. That might actually get some listens, because my day job is personal finance PR. So I literally work in that sector.
Hey, let's chat. what I've been saying at the end of gigs for the last couple of weeks, such gigs as I've been able to do post-pando, is lots of comics will ask you to follow their social media, but I'd like to ask you to follow me on LinkedIn, but only if you're on over 50k. That's what I'm thinking of this time. So, hard to put that into an appropriate plug for a podcast, but
chat. That'll be the first person I've ever wanted to have on LinkedIn, I think, since records began. But
it's my wife that's just walked in the last minute.
Right.
Hello, wife.
Hello.
She's on LinkedIn.
Amazing.
she's been listening live.
Okay, spree going.
I'll pass on your details.
Thank you so much for doing this. This has been really fun. This has been a Comedy Arcade, and you are all free to go.
thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.